Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Goes Without Saying, we are back for another episode of Goes Without Saying with Seffi and Wing. I'm Wing.
And I am Seffi.
And today we're going to be opening up everything that cannot go without saying. You guys know, we love to give you our most authentic selves. We're all about the realest, rawest combo. And these episodes are going to be kind of the behind the scenes of Goes Without Saying. The realest, darkest, deepest, most authentic chats possible. So stay tuned. Pretty exciting, pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Pretty raw. Let's get into it.
But this doesn't go without saying.
Keep our secrets. I think both of us have kind of been itching to like get everybody up to speed. It's quite jarring, like knowing that people can just like go back and listen to an episode from September. Mm. And it's like, wait, no, let me introduce myself. Like, let's all get acquainted with one another. And just, I mean, I feel like every week we feel like new people. So it's just like constantly trying to outpace ourselves of running everyone back up to speed, of like filling everyone in, bringing like the hot takes.
Yeah. Like, I just ignore everything I said in November that was bullshit.
Yeah.
Everything I said, just discount it.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally new views now. But people are dying to know where you've been, what hard thing you had to do. What's the hard thing? What's the hard thing, they're all saying? Because Wing put on the story saying she was doing a hard thing.
Yeah. Weird that I did that as well. I really recorded it. I really pre-recorded an Instagram story, which is bizarre.
I wasn't expecting it.
No, I wasn't.
I really wasn't expecting it. Because you were like, right, I've got a video ready to go, I'm just gonna put it up. And it was like, she's going public. I see what's going on.
Oh right, you didn't know I was gonna do that. Well, I kind of so just to clarify, if you're really confused, let's really get you up to speed.
Yeah.
In the last episode we were saying thank you so much, because in the episode before that we'd had a week off because I was having a breakdown, etc., and we just both like to have time to reflect so that we can come back and give you what we hope is a decent episode every week. But I wanted to say on the story specifically that I was really, really grateful for everyone who sent in messages. And I said, and I almost couldn't ignore what I was doing that day because it was so massive. And also I don't want to be vague with you lot. Like, I like having everyone be in the loop because I really feel like the BTS army. I really feel the army. Like, I really feel...
The GWS army. The S and W army.
Yeah. I really do, though. Do you get what I mean?
Oh, for sure. I feel like, especially with what you were doing, it's like you had a squad behind you and you needed it that day.
Yeah.
Let's get into it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Let me just squash the rumours. Because also I don't want to be vague. And I feel like...
No, so annoying.
I'm at a point where... I mean, it was funny. Last night I like read a message out to my boyfriend, which I keep doing, which is like, God, I don't know what you're going to do when we're Kylie Jenner, because like I go on and on. I'm like, look at this person being so cute. Look at what this person said, blah, blah, blah. People are just being so nice. And my boyfriend and I were laughing at like, he kind of said, not like they don't, like in reality, you don't see like how kind of worthless Seffi and I are. But like in reality, like, it's funny that you guys have a perception of us, which is true. But I mean, you wouldn't you? But it's funny that we just have perceptions of other human beings based on what we see. When, like, for my boyfriend, from his perspective, it's like, he feels like everyone gets a really small part of me. You do get a small part of us both, but you do get a very intimate hour, a very real hour of us every week. And speaking about, like, what happened on Monday, which I'll get into, it's like, at this point, you lot do know potentially more about me than other people close to me know. Like,
for sure. For sure.
We really do let you in.
Because you're hearing internal monologues almost. Also, you're not hearing my conversation with kind of my lecturer at uni. You're hearing a conversation with Wing, which is much more open than I care to be with the fucking stranger on the bus. I mean, you do know things. Like, for example, me talking about autism, it's like, yeah, no, some of my closest friends don't know that because they don't listen to the podcast. Rude.
So rude.
It's like, no, because I feel comfortable to share that on here, but I mean, you are getting an insight.
Yeah. And I wanted to properly explain, obviously, everything that's been going on and including what I was up to on Monday. But I was saying to Steffi, I feel like the podcast episodes are so much safer than like an Instagram story. Like, I've got kind of 58 minutes of padding on either side to like secure me. Like, statistically, you're probably not hearing this. Like, if you're hearing this kind of against all odds, like, what are the chances that you would be hearing me speak right now? So in the last episode, I said that I'd kind of come to a bit of a boiling point in my therapy with complex PTSD, which is has kind of manifested from quite bizarre, just like absolutely wild childhood trauma.
Mm-hmm.
To give you the quick kind of, here's what you missed on Glee.
Here's what you missed on Glee.
I had a great, but also like, but how great is anyone's childhood? But I had like a fine childhood, being an only child up until a certain age. My childhood took a bit of a turn.
Quite a U-turn.
Yeah. Oh God. Well, it absolutely took a U-turn. It took a turn straight down to the depths of hell. But I was in a situation that was traumatic and kind of heartbreaking and also unsafe for like a child and a teenager due to kind of just like in the care that I was under. And it was allowed by one of my parents. One of my parents essentially just allowed for it to happen, which was a big part of it, to be honest. Like, there was a man in my life who I think shouldn't have been in my life or shouldn't have been allowed to say or do the things that he did to a child, me. Mm. And my parent, who, you know, with them, just let it happen. Or, you know, the optics of a child, if it's continuing and your parent is kind of with them just letting it be, whether or not they're having arguments or whatever, the optics of it is it's being allowed by your parent. And I mean, God, there's like religion involved. I mean, it's a whole thing. But on Monday, it's kind of homecoming. It was kind of
shivers.
Facing your abuser for the first time as an adult situation.
Everyone's kind of holding hands right now, for sure. Everyone's kind of sending you vibes.
Well, I'm kind of holding everyone's hands, not letting you leave. I'm like, stay, listen to the trauma.
Oh, we're dying to hear.
Don't go. I really do. I mean, it went well, honestly. And I really do think it went well, largely because, look, I have to say, Steffi has just been so amazing. Like, I can't even.
I didn't think you. Oh.
No, honestly, like, I'm gonna cry.
Same. I'm just so, so fucking proud of you. God, I'm. I literally am so proud of you. Like, what a fucking day that was to go and face this person and basically honor your childhood self and explain to them how they fucked up with you.
Yeah.
It's not an easy fucking task, and you did it, and fuck, I'm so fucking proud of you.
Well, I really did it thanks to your support, honestly. Like, guys, I can't even tell you, if you think you've spent hours going over my trauma with me, Steffi has really put in the work to like come to me every day. Like, we're writing out fucking notes together about like what I do and don't say. And
although I did fuck it up because we scheduled this like FaceTime, right? We're going to talk about it through, and I wanted a little snack, and there were some weed brownies in my freezer. I thought, oh, I'll just have one, it probably won't affect me. I was so stoned throughout the whole thing.
Honestly, substance abuser over here.
I really am these days. It's becoming an issue. But my housemate's a real baker, but she's been away, so me and my other housemate just did weed brownies, and I'm kind of using them as substitute for like cookies.
But I love that you thought they were just going to be like a little brownie. You're like, they're not strong at all. I was thinking, Jesus, like,
I had it with a cup of tea.
Weed brownies fuck me up.
Like, and I was fucked.
And yeah, you were.
Honestly, it was like your deepest, darkest trauma. And honestly, it was blurry around the edges. Like, write down this. I've got an idea.
That was exactly what I needed. It was exactly what I needed. Kind of, you came to me in a mirage. Like, it was kind of this mellow, hallucinate, like, kind of bizarre figure.
Dude, we've got this. Yeah.
It was everything I needed. And I know I keep going on about it, but I can't even say how nice it is to have people who listen be like even like minutely invested in whatever I was up to that day. And I really, really felt just like I wasn't alone in that situation. Just like, it's okay. Mm. I can do it. We're all rooting for each other. It was just very, just the best. And my highlight that I will share, it went well, but my highlight was I saw that man.
I'm grinning. This is this is the pivotal moment. I just said this is my favourite moment in Erin's life to date. My personal favourite.
As I was leaving, it's like I was kind of leaving, I was getting in my car, and I looked back, I was like looking at him sat at the door, and I thought, I was really looking at him like, you're a small man. You are nothing. Like, you are meaningless. I thought you were a big fucking scary giant. I thought you were a monster.
I thought you were a big bad wolf, but no, you're just like a little shrimp.
You're meaningless. You're nothing.
Yeah. Your presence is irrelevant.
You are a tiny man and I am a grown woman.
I think it's my favourite trope in life. My favourite narrative of the little girls who were treated badly. They all grew up. They're all women now and they can look the men in the fucking eyes and go, I know we were both there. We were both in that room. And I know what you did.
Well, what are you going to do now? Yeah. I remember. I remember what you did. You didn't burn all the evidence. I remember.
It's like you didn't do that into a vacuum. You didn't do that to a little teddy bear. You didn't scream at a teddy bear. You screamed at me and I'm looking at you.
No, you did it to me.
Yeah. Wrong fucking person.
Your fatal mistake.
Your fatal mistake.
Now I'm going to talk about you on my podcast. Mm. But anyway, that's what's been up with me. That's kind of what quite a few people asked what we've been working through in therapy. We've both been working on this in therapy. But this is kind of what is going on with me. And I think it's honestly turning point after turning point. When I kept saying I'm going to turn up every Monday as a new bitch. Okay, now the new bitches were coming into the final form. Like,
yeah.
I really owned.
You closed a chapter.
The story. It's like, I'm comfortable. Yeah, I closed a chapter. And it's like, I mean, I was on the way there thinking, did I make this up?
Yeah, gaslighting yourself.
Yeah, gaslighting myself the way that society would gaslight.
That society would gaslight you.
Iconic line.
Hell yeah. Who came up with that genius quote?
But yeah, I mean, I feel so grateful to have. To have you, Seffi, and to have my friends and to have people listening. I feel like even irrespective of this situation, I know lots of you feel seen by this podcast. You feel a connection with us. Mm. I just want to say we feel it too. Like, it's very mutual.
We feel it back, yeah.
We feel it bad.
Big time.
Big time.
Two-way street, baby.
So yeah, what about you, Seffi? What have you been up to?
What have I been up to? I love how yours is like facing childhood demons, closing chapters. I've kind of been like, just been quite stoned the whole week, like kind of just been doing yoga, been working my way through those brownies.
Oh my god, do we send in an intervention?
Honestly, I think I'm having fun. I am having fun. It's kind of
when the fun stops. Stop.
Yeah, well, what am I doing? I got some new bikinis. That was fun.
Oh yeah, talk us through this if you wouldn't mind.
Talk you through it.
Are you stoned right now? when did this microphone get here?
what am I doing? As in what I was saying to you about the bikinis yesterday.
Well, yeah, spoiler, but yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, go on. In full detail.
Well, we're recording on Body Image next week, I believe. Or it's in...
Yeah.
There's a conversation on Body Image that's bubbling between the two of us, and I think we're going to discuss it at some point.
God, it's bubbling away.
Bubbling under the surface. It needs to be discussed.
Nice.
This actually ties into the question of what have I been working on in therapy. I'm not actually in an active stage of therapy right now, which I fucking wish I was, but it's so fucking expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as soon as I can get back in it.
So any sponsors out there, please, God.
Please. I'm begging you.
We're hanging on my fucking bread. She's getting stoned every day.
Squarespace, I speak directly to you.
Audible, I now speak directly to you.
I need it. But I ordered some bikinis because I'm going to a spa, which is, which is so random. I'm going to a spa, which I have I've only been to a spa once in my life, and also in COVID times, it kind of is stressing me out. But I've got to go, and it's.
I think it will probably be one of the cleanest, safest spaces to be, right?
Well, I'm really nervous for it, but I'm also just like,
what are you nervous about?
It just feels wrong. It just feels completely wrong
in a COVID sense.
Yeah, it feels completely inappropriate, almost
inappropriate, like tone deaf.
Like, are we joking? Are you joking right now?
Read the room.
Have you looked around?
No, I think it's fine. I think when you say a spa, surely they're not going. They won't have that many people, like that sort of thing.
No, it's not like because it's you. It's bath spa. Everyone knows bath spa.
Oh, like bath spa, the uni. Shout out to all the students listening.
Shout out, but this is actually the baths of it. So it's like open air vibes, and they're not doing the steam rooms. But I don't know. But I'm nervous just from a COVID perspective. Not even of getting it. One, I feel nervous just because it feels wrong and it just feels like, huh? But two, I feel kind of stressed about it because it's like body image, bikini times, which I think part of my fear, one of my New Year's resolutions was to take a bikini pic, one of the things on my list.
I've never seen you in a bikini.
You wouldn't have. You absolutely wouldn't have.
I don't think you've ever seen me in a bikini, actually, though. Oh, but did you not used to wear bikinis, is that what you're saying?
But not, like, regularly. I would wear a bikini, but I would feel absolutely dreadful in it. Like, I would feel absolutely dreadful. But then it's like, I think throughout my life, I kind of have felt dreadful just in my own
skin,
body, generally. In this life, generally. In a human form, generally.
Fuck.
But I was just like, fuck, okay, I'm just going to get some bikinis that I actually like. So I got some that I actually like, and they're nice bikinis sort of thing. But it's still just like the process of trying them on. It's like, oh my God, someone fucking hands me a gun. Like, this is awful. This is an awful experience.
Did you go into it thinking it was going to be awful? Did you go into it thinking it was going to be liberating? Like, what were you thinking? Were you nervous for them to arrive? That sort of thing.
I wasn't nervous for them to arrive, but I just knew what it was going to be. It's such a confronting thing to be looking at essentially your naked body in a mirror, which also I am so different to how I used to be. I think it's not even how I feel about my body now, but it's almost I have all of the kind of build up of how I used to feel about trying on bikinis and trying on like underwear from when I was 14 and kind of my body dysmorphia was at its peak.
Oh, I hate it.
But yeah, no, I kind of had this thing where, so I tried them on, I was like, oh, I think I look good in there.
Mm-hmm. Too right.
I think I look good. Well, that's the thing. But then I was saying to you on the phone, it's like, I'm having a thing at the moment where I'm not sure whether I'm like losing weight or I'm just seeing my body for what it has always been.
You're just seeing your body differently now, yeah.
Because I've always been the same size and I've always been relatively slim, but have always seen myself, like I've always fitted into small sizes, but the way I've always seen myself is, I have body dysmorphia basically, I've always seen myself as like a huge person. Mm-hmm. And it even goes in with height as well. Like, I'm a very, very short person, but I see myself as, like, 6'5". Like, it's quite absurd.
Yeah, yeah. 6'5" is mental.
But I kind of think we're probably the same height, even though I know we have measured each other and it's not true.
I mean, it's objectively false. I'm like, I'm above average and you are below average. Like, there's a whole demographic of young women between us. Like, if we were getting our school photo taken, you'd be miles away. I wouldn't be able to get to you. I love that you think you're tall, because I think it's a nice thing in the sense of, I think you've said before, like, you feel like you have a tall personality, like you've got a big personality kind of thing.
But I think I've got kind of big dick energy, kind of. I'm just big energy in my mind.
Yeah,
that's when I find it jarring, when I look in the mirror and it's a very small person, and then what I also see is kind of, I don't see it anymore, but when I used to look in the mirror, I used to see something that I didn't like as like, oh my God, I'm kind of too big, too taking up too much space, even though what is literally standing there is someone that isn't. But I don't know, I actually think I had quite a positive experience with, I think yoga has been changing my mind about my body so much, and all the stuff in therapy. But it was just one of those weird things where I was like, I don't know whether I'm seeing myself for the first time with accurate eyes at the moment.
Yeah.
Either I'm kind of rapidly losing so much weight, which kind of I know I'm not.
I'd be worried. It's like you're eating nothing but weed brownies and getting drunk every day and you're losing weight rapidly. It's like, it's alarming.
Concerned. Yeah. Concerned. Yeah. Which isn't the case. Or I'm seeing myself and being like, oh, okay, like, you're not big, Huh?
Yeah. Well, just kind of, and this is just what my body looks like. It's just a body.
It's just a weird time, really. So, yeah, I mean, that's what's been going on. But it's not even, I don't know. I think we'll get into more stuff in the body image episode, but it's kind of,
yeah.
It's I feel like being in a body is just a weird fucking place to be. It's like, huh?
It is, yeah. It's not like a machine, like a car, and kind of there's a set kind of tone and there's a set machinery. And
or is that, I thought I was kind of an astral spirit. Yeah. Like, I thought I was kind of
an essence of a soul, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the weed talking, yeah.
But no, I'm tied down to this, like, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think I'm just rewiring. I think throughout my whole life, I think I've kind of got to a point where I've accepted it's like a lifelong fucking journey, which is so depressing. Like, I can't be fucking bothered. But
also amazing.
Yeah.
Because I think even you saying about, like, you're going to get bikinis that you like. I remember saying to you, like, when we first were recording these episodes, like filming them. Like, I was saying to you, like, the way that you look, it's a shame that you're going to allow the way that you look to hold you back. Not that I'm, like, that sounds patronizing or like I don't get it. Like, but I just mean, it's just frustrating to not allow yourself the fun things that you want. Like, not allow yourself the fun in the bikini or not allow yourself to be on camera because you feel like you just need to quickly sort this out and then I can be on camera. I just need to quickly do this, quickly lose this weight and then I'll look.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, if I don't eat for a week, then I can wear this dress or then I can be on camera, then I can do. But it's actually like, no, but what if you don't need to not eat for a week? What if you can?
Yeah, why isn't who you are naturally now good enough?
Acceptable. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree.
Why are you not worthy of the things that you want to do? You absolutely are. It's just fucked.
But that's the thing, I can intellectualize that. I think I've always had that, but I can intellectualize it. Like, why at the beach? I'm at the beach. This should be the best fucking time. Why am I so miserable? But it's so fucking hard because it's like wired in from something.
Yeah.
From just a teenage time spent like obsessed with like magazines and like weight loss the whole time. But it fucks things up because you lose your grip on reality. I think that I think that is my main thing with body image. I have never known what I look like. I've never known because I've always been told, like, you have an image of yourself that is completely off. Like, you don't see yourself accurately. And also, I guess, kind of even with autism, it's like my image of the world is off according to everyone sort of thing. Anyway, it's like just slightly not it, or just slightly different, I guess. Not maybe wrong, but essentially slightly wrong. But I think that's the thing, I've never known what I look like, or I've never known how I like appear in the world. And then I think when I was trying on these bikinis, I was like, wait, am I kind of seeing it? Like, it was just a bit of a weird, it was a different moment because I've never really thought that I'm seeing reality in that way. But I don't know if this makes sense.
Maybe it's just you don't mind what you see for the first time. I think it makes perfect sense of, like, maybe you've always been able to see, you just had a deep rooted hatred, like, that is so, it's like you can't stomach what you're seeing.
It's so weird,
which is so damaging. It's hard to carry that with you in your life. It's hard to wake up and take that with you throughout the day and then, like, perform, you know, perform in work, perform in life, perform in your relationships when you're carrying like that with you. It's heavy.
It's weird. It's so weird. Like, I it's one of those things, it's like you would think after years and years and years you would have some kind of grip on it. And I think I'm changing my mind all the time, but I still just don't know at all. So yeah, Squarespace, hit us up if you want to work with us and pay for my therapy.
Well, it's also kind of trusting yourself, etc. Yeah. That's a real theme at the moment.
It is, big time.
But I mean, that's what we've been up to, hey? Body image episode coming.
Yeah, can't wait. I wanted to do this one just to lighten the mood.
Uh-huh. No, don't lighten the mood.
I've had to write them down on a piece of paper.
Honestly, like a little kind of by pigeon carrier. It's been sent over to you. Message in a bottle.
Message in a bottle has come over to me that says, fuck, marry... It says fuck. It says fuck, marry, kill Harry Styles, Jim Carrey and each other. And I love a fuck, marry, kill / what I call kill, kiss or marry, because I'm PG.
PC.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, PG, not PC.
I'm PG.
You're rated U.
Who would you fuck, marry, kill? Jim Carrey, Harry Styles, or me?
To kill somebody is so extreme. Like, if we're taking it like that, to kill somebody is wild.
It's Harry for me.
If I'm going to kill someone, I need to be able to say, Seffi, I've just killed someone, so I'm not killing you for sure.
No.
I think I'm killing Jim. You're killing Harry.
I'm killing Harry.
No, go on.
Oof, I guess I have to marry you because I don't particularly want to kiss you.
Oh, we're not fucking.
Oh no, it's fuck. Well, that's the thing. So I think I'm fucking Jim, marrying you, killing Harry.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I also kind of want to marry Jim.
I don't think I want to marry the person that killed Harry Styles. It's like, what, yeah, we're gonna be, yeah, fucking, we're like rebels, we're like outcasts, we're gonna have to,
you've got issues all of a sudden. It's like, right, okay, we gotta move.
You've got the fight of your life ahead of you. We're in hiding, we can't do the pod anymore, that's for sure. But how can we be authentic when you've killed Harry Styles? It's like, god, better not bring him.
It's
up,
pretty bad.
He's popping off in the Discord every week. It's like, shit, I can't.
That's worst case scenario, you've killed
Harry Styles.
It's like, suddenly you're outlaws.
He's like, how did you manage that? Fucking hell,
you killed him. Who? Harry who? Prince Harry? No, Harry Styles.
Harry Styles.
It's like, fuck, worst case scenario.
Oh, that's bad. It's like, literally, did Zayn put you up to this? So bad. I'm killing Jim, for sure.
Are you?
Yeah, because he's the oldest, so it's only fair.
True. He's pretty fit, though.
Oh, he is, but I hate that narrative of, like,
he's old, so he can die.
Obviously, I hate the narrative that we've had with COVID of, like, yeah, oh, the old people, like, the sick people, they can go anywhere. It's like, Jesus Christ, we are fucked as a society. Like, that's the, yeah, worst thing I've ever heard. But when it comes to fuck, marry, kill, Harry Styles, Jim Carrey, and Seffi,
Jim's gone.
Listen, compromises have to be made, and Jim, it's not looking good. He's a goner.
I mean, look, it's between Harry and Jim. I think I'm veering, is that what it is? I'm edging towards choosing Jim over Harry.
What, to fuck?
To fuck, yeah.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Wow, that's insane, I think.
Harry's obviously so fit, but it's kind of Jim Carrey.
Do you hear yourself right now? Do you hear what you just said?
They don't go
Harry
together.
Harry is so fit, but like, Jim Carrey. It's like, are you thinking straight? What's going on here?
Like, are you thinking of the right person? I think that would be a very fun time. There would be characters involved.
Oh, God. Okay, well, that's all I need to hear. I've heard just would about be doing enough, jokes. Thank you. I didn't ask for the details.
Be method acting.
That's as who? The Grinch.
The Grinch. Truman. It's like, what's his character?
He's like chewing on glass. Oh my God.
The Grinch is so, that's so bad. Oh my God.
It's kind of your Cindy Lou Who. No, that's fucked.
What, Dumb and Dumber?
Where, what else has he been in? Liar Liar? Is that a film?
Liar. Yes Man, or whatever it's called.
Yes Man, I was going to say.
I want you to method act as Yes, your character in Yes Man.
It's like a nondescript character. It's essentially just like Man.
Basic Man. It's kind of Jim Carrey.
In the 90s, like early 2000s. Yeah.
I want you to act as your character from Liar Liar.
Oh my God.
Like, what?
It's like kind of just your everyday Jim.
Just like put on your normal clothes. Like, Jim, just wear what you're wearing that day. Like, that can be your costume.
Oh my God.
Can we do some more fuck, marry, kills?
All right, go on then, off the top of your head. Yeah.
Just kind of, if I give you like Harry Potter, Ron Weasley, and Draco, Like, what are you doing, for example, in that?
I'm killing Draco for the greater good.
God, okay.
Sorry.
God, didn't see that coming.
It's got to be done. Like, realistically, who do I trust?
No, but fuck Draco.
Like, if I'm trying to leave the world a better place.
Sure. No, but no, you're not. You're not.
No, but
you're trying to make your life a funner place.
I am, though.
You've not got the weight on your shoulders in this scenario.
I do. I'm killing Draco for sure, and I'm going to marry Harry, and I'll have to fuck Ron, even though Harry won't like that.
God, that...
I don't want to have sex with Draco, he's evil.
I think that... evil! He is evil.
He is evil.
I think that's the opposite of what I would have chosen.
I think it's the opposite of what you would have chosen as well, because you're kind of Voldemort reincarnate.
I would kill Harry, fuck Draco, marry Ron. Easily, in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I see that. I see it for you. I love it for you.
Mm.
To me, sex with Draco wouldn't be enjoyable because it's just like, I don't trust you. Like, you probably don't respect me. Like,
yeah.
I need some respect from you. It's like, I'm going to be degraded and I'm not into that. It's like, I'm degrading you, you little kind of bleached out weasel.
I don't think he would. No, I think Draco's got the sensitive, like...
He's also like, Erin, that's like...
Yeah, bleached out weasel.
Literally, like, that's kind of a 14-year-old, like, shut your mouth, like, what am I saying? It's like, I've got beef with a 12-year-old.
No.
I'll never forgive you for what you did to Harry.
But I think Draco, he isn't mean in that way. Like, he is, but he has the sensitive soul. I think you would get into quite a bit, like, I reckon he'd be a bit of a crier, almost.
I'm punching him in the face. I'm doing a, that felt good. I'm not having sex with him saying, that felt good.
You foul, loathsome, evil little cockroach.
Evil little cockroach, yeah.
But yeah, I just wanted to play a quick game of that.
Okay, would you want to do another one? I know you love it.
I love it. I love the crushes of life.
What about fuck, marry, kill? I'm joking.
I was joking. No.
That was listeners. I don't know if that's going in. It's getting beeped, obviously. Getting beeped the fuck out of that. It goes out saying we don't want to kill anyone, any of you. We want to fucking marry all of you.
No. It's just marry.
Fuck, marry, kill. Shrek, Fiona, Lord Farquaad.
Oh, God. Oh, goodness. Oh, well, I'm killing Lord Farquaad. How do you say it? Lord...
Why is that the most embarrassing bit? Is saying his name?
Lord Farquaad.
You're going to say, like, Kumquat.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, like, Lord Kumquat. I'm killing him, obviously. Goes without saying. Well, I'm not marrying or fucking that guy. I'm fucking Fiona marrying Shrek.
You're going to marry Shrek?
Yeah.
I'm going to marry Fiona.
Really?
Oh, I don't want to fuck Shrek, but I will do it for the sake of marrying Fiona,
yeah. I'd fuck Shrek.
Would you?
I'd fuck Shrek. As a human. Shrek in human form.
Not human hunky
Shrek. I found a
loophole. No.
Ogre green Shrek. But Fiona's ogre as well.
Okay, well then I'm marrying fucking human Fiona.
No, but I'm fucking human Fiona and I'm marrying human Shrek.
When she's doing her lovely little singing voice or whatever you said.
The reels really come back to haunt us because we hear them on loops so often.
Oh, I hear them over and over and over.
Wing edits them and Christ, I mean, what a process that must be.
Boy, do they go over and over. Okay, this question I really liked. Someone said, tell me how I start living this life that I pretend that I have. And I just thought, what a fascinating subject, to be honest.
Mm.
Kind of could do a whole episode on it, just for the fact that I was thinking, when I first saw that question, I was thinking, okay, but to what extent do you not have the life that you pretend that you have?
Because ooh, I love that.
If you're going through the motions of the performance of the life that you're pretending that you have, or you're kind of trying to recreate the moments of the life that you want, how much is that not real then? So say I want my life to be, I wake up, I have therapy, I record, I get some work done, I go for dinner.
That's your day.
That's my day.
Yeah.
Spoiler, that's my day. But it's like, I could either be like, fuck, but I don't have any money right now. Fuck, but I've watched all this shit right now. Like, oh, I look shit and I don't have this and I don't have this. It's like, I'm not saying... It's all your perception because life is shit. I'll be the first to say it. Life is fucking hard. But it's kind of what I was saying earlier about recording the reels or whatever with Seffy. It's like, at what point do we start enjoying what we've got? Because I've done it before where I look back and think, fuck, I could have really been enjoying that time, but I was too busy stressed.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, that time wasn't perfect. And I know hindsight is rose-tinted, but there are moments that you can enjoy it. I'm sure there are moments in your life where... What does your pretending look like? If your pretending looks like when you're going for fucking dinner with your friend, or your pretending looks like buying a new outfit and you love the way you look in it, why is that? Why does that have to be pretend?
I love this. Yeah.
If you can switch something in your mind that allows you to enjoy it, then you'll be living the life that you are pretending that you have. You'll be living it. You won't be pretending anymore.
I saw a meme.
We're so cultured.
I saw a meme.
So I was doing a bit of light reading. It was a meme.
Light reading on the internet. It said, like, oh, I can't remember how it was saying, but it was basically saying, like, rather than have this image of your dream life in the future where you will be like, oh my God, I can be basically, I don't know, I'm just going to do my own dream life. You live on a farm, you have loads of animals, you're surrounded by cows, you're surrounded by chickens and like everything. Like, oh my God, it's so perfect. I like am so one with nature. Oh my God, it'll be so perfect when it gets to that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of, what tangible ways can you bring in that into your reality of your life? Because in reality, you can have this kind of fantasy of what you want in your life. It could be, oh my God, I'm the highest flying businesswoman in the world, I'm a CEO of my own company, blah blah blah, I go to lunches with all these people. What ways can you bring things like that into your life now? And I think,
God, heavy meme.
Yeah, I know, it was a heavy meme.
You got all that from a meme, Jesus.
Yeah, no, it was like wordy meme.
Amazing.
It was quite a spiritual meme.
Oh, I love it. Send it my way. Yeah,
I'll try and find it. I'll put it on the story if I can find it, because the things you're seeking aren't actually, you're not actually seeking to be surrounded by cows, blah blah blah. You're seeking a connection with life.
Yeah.
Or you're not actually seeking a business meeting lunch with an investor. You're not actually seeking that. You're seeking the feelings of success and like, oh, I'm on top of this.
The feeling.
You're not actually seeking these individual things.
Yeah.
You're looking for the feelings that those things give you. So what can you actually tangibly do that will bring that into your life now? And there are so many fucking things. There are so many ways you can bring that in.
What a great podcast this is, honestly.
Yeah, it's fucking good. It's all from a meme.
Take it away, Safi. That was great. But it's so fucking true. It's like those moments, or like those ideas of experiences that you have are kind of interchangeable. It's the feeling, and it's kind of what you were saying in the last episode, that those moments are interchangeable. It's the feeling of desiring love. It's wanting to be seen and accepted and loved that is the one thing that you actually want. And you can, everything you once desired from others, give it to yourself right now. I'm giving you permission. Give it to yourself now. It's like, whatever you're doing today, I'm now giving you permission to enjoy it a bit more than you might have. And I'm not saying life's not hard, and I'm not saying life's not shit, and I'm not saying that class and race and gender and all of these things don't feed into the kind of reductive view that we all are being fed on, like happiness and positivity and success and all of those things. But there are certain ways that we can hold ourselves accountable, and there are certain choices that we can make to relieve ourselves of the stress that we're putting ourselves under, the pressure that we're putting on ourselves. Because often, from my perspective, it's like, yeah, life can be shit sometimes, life throws things at me. But I'm not going to lie to you, the majority of the time, I create things in my mind. Like, I will make things much more of a problem than they need to be. And I end up looking back thinking, oh, last week really wasn't that bad on paper. And that's not to say that your emotions, bad emotions, aren't real. It's just they don't have to be so consuming. You can find like those light moments where you're at one with nature, for example, like Seffi wants to be in your everyday life,
when you're riding a unicorn over marshmallow clouds. It's kind of, God,
no, it sounds great.
But also, it's like, spoiler alert, you may never get there.
Mm-hmm. It might never look like that.
You're searching for a life that realistically you might never get there. None of us know how long we're going to live. God, none of us know what the fuck is going to happen. Yeah, touching all the wood available.
I want long and fruitful lives for all of us.
But we don't fucking know. Anything can happen. I mean, I think COVID really proved, it's like, look, our structures that we exist under are unstable. Fundamentally, they are unstable.
Mm-hmm.
All the things that we think of as like, oh yeah, we've got that in the bank. Like, I'm paying this into my pension. It's like, mate, you at fucking 70 is a different person to you now.
You're going to live to see your pension. Wow. That's a commitment.
Yeah, wow. God. Or like, oh, you think pensions will still exist? Okay. Oh, God, you've got a lot of hope for society.
But you don't want to commit to one girl.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Interesting.
Interesting times.
Yeah.
But you might never get there. So I think, I'm nearly done. I'm going to finish it today. I'm on the last like three pages of this book, Eckhart Tolle, A New Earth. I've been reading it fucking ages, honestly. Slowest reader. I did English at uni. I'm the slowest reader around.
I love hearing your findings though. I feel like you're really savouring it.
I really am. Every single page has highlights and notes on. Like, it is one of the most amazing books I've ever read. It's called, if you didn't hear that, Harry, it's A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle.
We now speak directly to you.
Directly to you. It is amazing. I'm kind of working my way through, like, Oprah's book club books. And then I fucking ordered one and Caitlyn Jenner's fucking biography arrived instead.
Yeah. How bizarre.
Well, I literally ordered a book about death row. It sounds amazing. It's about this guy that, like, it's called The Sun Does Shine or something like that. And it's, like, about this guy is on death row and he finds, like, freedom and love in life on death row. Amazing. Thought that was arriving, was so excited. Fucking Caitlyn Jenner's biography arrives. It's like, are you joking?
What are the chances? It really is the devil works hard, but Kris Jenner works harder. Not that Kris Jenner wants Caitlyn's book to be going around, but
it's a good joke.
You get what I mean? The Kardashian propaganda just doesn't die.
It's a joke. But in this book, oh my god, in not Caitlyn Jenner's book, in A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle, the whole thing is insane. It's insane. It's changed my mind about so much. But he was talking about how we view the present moment in this society as like a means to an end. Like, if I can just do this in this moment, then in the next moment I can be happy, then in a week I can be happy, then in a month I'll be happy, when I'm 30 I'll be happy. And it's like, you're viewing your life as this thing you can work through to get something,
thing that you're trying to get to.
Yeah, but it's like, no, you're in it now. You're in it. Yeah, you're literally in it.
In it.
You're in it. In it.
I used to say in it and I stopped myself saying in it. I've said that before anyway.
In it. Yeah,
in it.
No, just there's another quote that I love so much. I think it's kind of everything.
Yeah, go on.
You once desired from others, give it to yourself now.
Oh, let us hear it. Share it.
Okay, well, let me get my notes up. I've written it in my notes because I don't want to butcher it at all.
Yeah, don't butcher it.
Oh my god, it's so fucking good. Okay, so first of all, this isn't it, but this just relates to what we were just saying. So many notes here.
Yeah, go on.
So relates to it. It says, do you want the present moment to be your friend or your enemy? So fucking true.
I remember you said that to me already. I love it.
This present moment now. Yeah. Do you want it to be your friend or your enemy? So fucking good. But that wasn't the one. This is the one. Whatever you think the world is withholding from you is what you're withholding from the world.
Yeah, you told me this one too. Shivers. Great. Yeah, it is good.
That is amazing. Whatever you think the world is withholding from you is what you're withholding from the world.
Yeah.
Fuck. Well, I feel like I'm not getting enough of this. I'm not getting enough of that. It's because you're not giving that out.
But last year I had 37.
Last year? Yeah. Your Dudley special day.
Yeah, and it's never going to be Dudley special day if you don't kind of stop being an arsehole.
Yeah.
To yourself. I was going to say, like, how many of us now, when you were saying, like, you know, your life might never be that, it's like, how many of us can say, I'm sure lots of us can say, that your life, you know, you've had a moment in life where it didn't go how you thought it was going to go. It didn't go to plan, for example, or it took a different turn, but it felt good.
Yeah.
You were happy in that moment and it wasn't what you expected or what you planned for or what you were hoping for. It didn't come out exactly how you were thinking,
but it
worked. It worked out. Yeah.
So many, I think we've said this in episodes before, well, I know we have because I really, really, truly believe this, that all of the best things in my life I didn't plan, or they happened kind of in spite of my plans.
I just walked right in.
Yeah.
I made room for myself in your life.
All the things when I've been working with kind of desperation, oh my god, I need this thing, if I just work that out and I can kind of bring A to B together and then I'm connecting all the wires and it should work out perfectly. All of that goes to shit, always. None of it ever works.
They're fickle. Yeah, it's nothing.
But every time that I scrap the plan and live in the moment, I'm friends with the present moment, I don't make it my enemy, then amazing shit happens.
This podcast is hosted by Seffi Wing and The Present Moment, our new friend.
Our newest friend is The Present Moment. Everyone's kind of looking around like, oh.
Fucking hell. We just get worse and worse.
We do.
People were asking about our religious beliefs, our experiences with religion, if we're spiritual, blah, blah, blah. Wait, can I ask you a question? No.
In a Q&A, yes.
Imagine you're like, no, I'd rather you didn't. Were you like, how did you think about religion growing up, like as a kid?
I was raised like hard atheist. Like, it wasn't just like, we're agnostic, like we don't believe in anything. It was like, God does not exist. Like, we are hard science vibes here. Because it's kind of their my parents are archaeologists, like a bit of science people. I don't know. They were a bit like, I don't know. But I remember there was one bit where I was like to my mum, you know, when you're a kid and you kind of believe in God, and I was a bit like, please, like, I'm really scared God doesn't. I remember crying to me. I'm scared God exists and you don't believe in God, so you're gonna.
A valid fear, honestly.
That you get a bit Christian out of fear.
Yeah.
But I remember my mum doing a crazy thing in the kitchen. She like threw her arms up and she's like, if you're there, strike me down. I was crying.
She did a Jim Carrey. Strike me. Smite me, almighty smiter. She fully did a Jim Carrey on you.
Fully Jim. Maybe that's why I love feel so at home with Jim.
That's where the love was born. You kind of think he's your mum.
Yeah.
That's quite...
I'm like, mummy, Jim.
But you want to have sex with him. That's like, oh, yeah, let's get out of it.
Yeah, yeah, suddenly it's Freudian. Yeah. But she was like, strike me down then. And I was like, no. And then nothing happened, obviously. So I was like, oh, it can't be real then. Can't be real.
But maybe he is real, and or she is real, and she was listening to you saying no, no. But then she decided to kill a load of children. So,
well, I think I've become more spiritual as I've developed my own thing, because my family aren't spiritual at all. They're all hard, still hardcore atheists. My dad's a bit.
They think you're nerds.
My dad's not actually, but I'm kind of the nutter. Like, I'm the only one that believes in ghosts out of the family. Like, I'm the nutter of.
Yeah.
I'm the lunatic for sure. What about you?
Well, I don't know. I feel like I'm taking it to a dark place, as usual.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I knew it was going to go here, so let's take it.
Not that I want to take it to a really dark place, but I just kind of want to... Oh, I don't know. Let me think. Like, what am I trying to say?
I mean, you've got a complex relationship with religion. You would.
Yeah, I do. I have a complex relationship with religion. Not that I was raised particularly... I was going to say raised particularly delicious, I was going to say.
So delish. Honestly, delish.
Not that I was raised particularly religious up until a point, but I mean, my like white side of my family is pretty like Catholic, but to be honest, they like it was just pretty like, you know, I wasn't doing Lent or anything. I don't really know what Lent is.
My family always made me give up TV for Lent. Gutting.
Really? Oh, you did what? You did Lent, but they were going, God doesn't exist.
But just as like some torturous thing. Yeah, they'd be like, yeah. It's Lent, so no TV for you.
Well, you really made that your brand, didn't you? Now you're fucking like, I cannot relax.
Yeah, no, honestly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Suddenly it's like, if you watch 1 hour of TV, it's like, I'm the worst human being on earth. But that was the sad story about when they split, when my parents split up, it was during Lent, and they let us watch half an hour of TV, and we picked You've Been Framed. And there was a song.
Oh my God,
it was obsessed. Like a montage of couples, and I was just there crying.
I'm obsessed. Why is that the best? Honestly, best time to get divorced, early 2000s. Like,
in the, during You've Been Framed. It's like, oh God.
Such a time. Wow. Yeah, and then, so like my dad's side, I mean, I've always had like Islam in and out of my life. Mm. And religion, then obviously through the trauma, I don't know if you guys heard earlier, I went on a bit of a speech about my trauma. Religion was a big part of that too. Although I think, it's not a surprise to anyone, I think bad people use religion as a scapegoat for their bad actions.
Mm.
I always find religion is triggering for me, honestly. Like,
yeah.
It's weird because even like, I know it's Eid recently, I feel like there's always something going on with Eid. Like whenever it's fucking like Ramadan, it's like there's always some sort of heartache. Like there's like kind of, I know, like in Palestine, it's just, it's hard. I just want to say, like, for all of us, because I was thinking it with the Black Lives, like with Black Lives Matter too, like it's, well, firstly, I want to say, like, for people who found it triggering, I hope that you take time off of social media, because social media is hard anyway. So, like, if your religion or race is triggering for you sometimes, that's fine, and get out of here, because it's kind of, Instagram and all of this shit is kind of built to fuck you up. Like, it's not designed with your, like, with your race in mind, basically, if you're not white. And I kind of wanted to say, like, not that, I don't know, this is not a big deal, but I was just thinking earlier about sharing things, or like, if you think, I think it's easy for like a lot of people to kind of, without thinking, feel like they're sharing something to help, but you're actually sharing like a video of someone being attacked. And it's like, if that video looks like your little brother, it's hard to see, and you think you're helping, but actually you're just showing kind of racially charged
violence.
Murder. Yeah, which is so painful for lots of people.
And also, why is it so easy for you to detach from it Which is what, that was such a big part of the Black Lives Matter discourse. Yeah, why are white people sharing these images of,
with crying emojis, it's like
black people, God, being murdered so casually. It's not casual.
It's not casual, and I think it is. I think it's just easy to forget that actually you think you're helping, and I'm not saying you're not helping. Like, I'm sure you are, but in just like, I think we, like, me too, hashtag me too, but me as well. Like, when I, it's hard to remember sometimes what you're, because obviously, I mean, there's no safe space on the internet, and there shouldn't be, like, whatever. But just even when you're going to share a video of someone being killed or whatever, maybe take a second back, click back a couple of pages and find, like, another thing that you can share that might be more helpful, a different resource that might be more worthwhile for everyone, because it's fucking hard.
Yeah. And maybe think about the impulse of sharing that, the impulse behind sharing that, because I'm sure often when you get to the root of it, is it this performative allyship? Like, is it that you want, oh, it's it, this is happening and I need to share something about it? It's like, do you?
Yeah.
Do you need to speak right now?
Yeah.
Or do you actually need to, like, sit back and actually listen?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I know that wasn't what they were asking, but I feel like religion is a big part of my, I think about religion, like, all the time I think about religion. And, like, I feel like there's so, it's just interesting, there are so many narratives about, like, traditional, like, the monolithic religions that I just think it's interesting to hear. I think we're relatively normal, but also kind of bizarre, but, like, just normal girls talk about it, because I think it stops it from being like an obscure thing. Like, it's, I think not that we're mainstream media by any sense, but I just think mainstream media should be talking about autism, for example. Like, we should be talking about Islamophobia, like, when we're thinking about it, because it stops it from being, like, an obscure, like, rarity.
Like a marginalised thing. Exactly. Like a thing that's kind of a dirty secret in the background. Yeah.
So religion is, but I'm not religious at all, but I am, like, I have many, many a belief.
Mm.
Don't get me started on my beliefs.
We're spiritual, I would say.
Yeah, but I wouldn't even say that I'm spiritual. I think I just don't like the term. I think because, so, when I was younger, I got really into, like, my older cousin would, like, read, like, tarot cards and stuff, like, when I was, like, really young. So he was really, like, a spiritualist. It's like, whoa, this is a real thing. Like, I really fell into that as a kid, like, loved it.
Yeah.
So I feel like now, because it's, like, all been, like, kind of gentrified and whitewashed, it just feels a bit wrong. It's like, it's not, I don't know, I can't gatekeep it, I don't want to, but it's just interesting, isn't it, like, how it's changed and kind of, it's just kind of, it feels a bit watered down.
Well, it's commercialized. It's now tarot cards are being designed all over the shop.
Like Game of Thrones characters.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of...
which is stunning.
I mean, the most stunning thing ever. But yeah, no, it is completely whitewashed. And it's the whole argument with smudging as well, like using sage, like burning sage.
Yeah.
It's like an indigenous practice, but then there are white girls on Instagram burning sage all over the shop.
Yeah.
And it's like, how far is that appropriate?
Yeah, it's true. And it's weird to think about. I know people, Sevi and I have been talking a lot about just like making sure that we're bringing the most authentic conversation to you guys, because we want the authentic conversation back. And like someone said, like, how does it feel to be, I don't know what they said, they like, oh, I can't remember how they put it, but it was like relatively known or something. It was like, what was it? It was like
up and coming.
No. It was that someone else called us up and coming, but it was like, oh, I don't know what they said. It was in this question box. Someone was like,
was it, how do we feel to be the swamp, something in the swamp of Instagram? I love that one.
No.
The saints in the swamp.
But that was really nice. Yeah. But it was something they basically said, like, how does it feel to have like a kind of a small following essentially? And it's like, yeah, it feels weird. It feels fucking strange because I'm not equipped. Like, I'm sure you lot can tell, we are not equipped. Like, we're not, and that's why influencers get so hated, because it's like they are just people and they end up saying the weirdest, most fucked up things because you have responsibility with a platform. But I think it's really important that we have an authentic conversation with you lot, because I want you lot to be able to come to us and speak authentically too. Like, not that I want to be called out by you guys, but I just want to have like an ongoing conversation where, like, if you guys have ideas and thoughts, I want them to be shared. Like, I want it to be
not bullshit.
I just want to be able to have like a real honest dialogue. Yeah, not bullshit with you guys, like, and pretend that We're not here for a performance.
I think that's the thing that's so fucked with the relationship that you're supposed to have with your following on the internet. It's kind of, you should be like, love you guys at the end of your video, or you should be like, I don't know, there's this kind of thing that you're gonna sell them shit, or that they're numbers to you in this way, and you're gonna you have a relationship that they provide you with some sense of identity in some way.
Yeah,
it's very detached but also dependent at the same time. Like, it's a really sick relationship that I think you're supposed to have with your people that follow you,
kind of keep them at arm's length,
yeah,
and simultaneously exploit them.
Yeah, oh god, it's bleak. And I just think we're not here for that,
which I don't want to do.
No, not at all.
The last thing I want to do is keep you at arm's length. Well, honestly, it's like, come right in.
Well, I also don't want you coming to my fucking house.
I said come right in.
Well, if I kind of want to meet you as humans, like, yeah, definitely come for tea would be great. But it's also, I don't want people prying through my knicker drawer. Do you know what I mean? Like, that sort of, it's kind of, I think.
Well, yeah, no. God knows what they'll find.
God knows. They'll find our kind of stolen vibrators. We want to have a real relationship with you guys and meet you as kind of human beings on this earth. We're all here alive at the same time on this earth. What are the fucking chances? Literally, what are the fucking chances? And I think that is what I want. I want to, like, have a real thing with real humans as a human, and not be on this kind of pedestal, not be judged in this like open way, but also be able to communicate, like, freely as a human with other humans.
Yeah, freely the banana girl.
Freely the banana girl, yeah. Anyone want to do Raw Talk 4?
Kind of the opposite of the banana girl is what I want. But yeah, I mean, I just, every week I feel like we feel more and more grateful for people listening.
And kind of every week I feel like I feel more and more able to be ourselves in this.
Yeah.
And I feel more and more seen, which is quite scary, but also just like the most stunning thing on earth.
I think it's because you're seeing yourself.
Yeah, stunning. I mean, that's quite nice.
I just want to again take a moment to thank Seffi for being the best.
Well,
and just kind of, I just feel like, God, so thousands of people would die to get to have a fucking 10-minute convo with you. I'm just like, wow, I get to not only have this chat with you, but just have you in my life. I feel so lucky. Like, wow, like, I get you up close and personal. I feel honoured.
Well, I'm throwing it right back. Throw it right back. Sort of frisbee it back. Boomeranged. I feel so lucky to know you. So lucky to be able to. It's such a treat to be able to, fucking 1:30 p.m. over here, and I get to chat to you all day. Like, God, that's so nice. Like, what a fucking treat.
Stunning.
And what a treat for you guys to listen to this conversation.
Audible, I now speak directly
to you. Please send us a check.
The ship is sinking. I have no food.
Well, I hope you're all having a great week. Like, I hope it's revelation times for you. I hope it's celebration times for you.
I wish I could just honestly get them by the neck and just squeeze their little heads off with a big kiss. Honestly, a big smackaroony.
I kind of don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Get away from me. Do not try and kiss me. A hug at most. I would love a real convo with you.
Honestly, so much. Just so happy to have you guys.
Maybe just one thing to leave you with.
Yeah, leave us with the lovely quote.
That whatever you think the world is withholding from you is what you are withholding from the world.
Can I quickly ask you, I know we were going to end it there, but what do you think the world is withholding from you?
Ooh, well, maybe we should both do it. I don't know what I think the world is withholding from me.
Well, right now, a fucking sponsor.
Exactly. Fucking Audible, Squarespace, Headspace, all of these places.
What do you guys want? Who, like, would you want Audible? Would you be yawning your nut off at that? Let us know.
Maybe you guys could do some of our bidding.
Yeah, go on, pull your weight, fucking hell.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.